Grace and mercy, peace and joy be yours in our Lord, and our Savior Jesus. So you know what I like to do? I like to go through the text first that we just read and then think about it a little bit and then especially see how that applies to us. So let's look at the text first, and we should be seeing it maybe up on the screen. We have that the next day, which is interesting that that's how this starts, because there's these 6 days at the very beginning of John that John points out. And what he's saying with these 6 days is how he started the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with, and the Word was God. And what he's saying is he's talking about Jesus coming into the world and recreating it. And so there's these 6 days of recreation in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. So the next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says what he says to every single disciple of all time, follow me. That following of Jesus, that abandoning the ways of the world to follow in the footsteps of the Son of the living God, now in human flesh. Follow him. Not just literally on the ground, but in that spiritual, huge sense of being remade in the image of God through the waters of baptism. Follow me, and I will show you amazing things. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, mentioned because Andrew and Peter were just mentioned a few moments ago. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, now this is a key phrase, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In other words, he's saying to Nathanael, we have been, as God's people, waiting thousands of years for the revelation, the fulfillment of what God said in Moses and the prophets. We have finally seen the Messiah. And boy, isn't that good news. Now, Nathanael is a student of Scripture, as we'll see. And he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, I've heard a lot of sermons about this and a whole lot of things, and it's always fun, because Nazareth really was a pretty backwater town, not much going on in it, and most people hear that more in that absolute literal sense. Have you ever been to Nazareth? Okay, so I hope none of you will take offense at this, but have you ever been to Stockton? You know, that's kind of what he's saying. You know, what can good come out of that place? So I hope none of you were born in Stockton. And if so, obviously you're the exception to the rule, okay? But what he's really meaning by this is not that. You see, he's a student of Scripture. And he's saying this. If you're talking about the Messiah, and the Messiah was born in Nazareth, how can he be the Messiah? What good can come out of Nazareth when that good that we're looking for, this Messiah, came from Bethlehem? And what's really cool about John is he never tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We all know that from Luke and Matthew. And so we're supposed to say, Nathanael, look into this. You'll find out he did come from Bethlehem like he's supposed to. But there's more than just the birth. Nothing from that area is mentioned except for one passage about Naphtali and the light of the world coming to Naphtali. But it's not mentioned as Nazareth. So he's saying, this doesn't jive with what you just said, with what Moses said in the law and the prophets say about the Messiah. It doesn't jive at all. So how can this be the Messiah? And so Philip says, and this is the greatest thing of all, I love this. Come and see. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, I know I'm very guilty of this, when somebody says kind of an objection to our faith in Jesus Christ, that we begin to argue with them and try to prove it to them and use all sorts of logical and scriptural whatever. You see, it's not our job to convert. That's not what we do. It's God's job to do that. And so Philip says, well, come and see. Basically, what he's saying is, well, let me show you Jesus, and I'll let Jesus convince you. I'm not going to convince you. I can't do that. But Jesus can. Well, if you want to bring somebody to Christ, just say to them, come and see. Let's just take some time. You looking at Jesus, looking at who he is. Come and see. So Jesus, another way that this could actually be read, by the way, is not just come and see, but the way that the Greek is read, it could be read very clearly this way, but it could also be read this way. If you come, you will see. I kind of like that reading better. If you come, you will see. Why? Because God wants all people to be saved. He doesn't want to lose anybody. So if people come into his presence, he will open their eyes. If they just let him. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, now here's a big statement always in the scriptures when you see the word behold, it's kind of like a flashlight going on the page saying, don't miss this one. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Notice he doesn't say a Judahite. He doesn't say a man of the Jewish people. That's how most people would have talked about it. He chooses very carefully this word Israelite. A true Israelite. A true Israelite is a person who belongs to the covenant of God. A true Israelite is one who has been exposed to the covenant of God and said to God, thank you. You have made me your child. Nathanael is a man of the covenant. He has received the Almighty Father, Yahweh, as his father. He has already received the Messiah, though unknown to him who that man was. He has already received him as his Savior. The one who is that suffering Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as Isaiah in the Old Testament spoke of him. He is a man of the covenant, in other words, a true Israelite, in whom there is no deceit, because having entered into this covenant with God, a covenant of salvation, he has been washed clean of his sin. And the way that Jesus sees him is as the new man that this new creation is all about, a new person without any sin anymore that clings to him. Oh, he sins every day, but that sin no longer can cling to him because he is a true Israelite who has received in faith the totality and the fullness of God's promises in both the Old and the New Covenants, the Old and New Testament. And so Nathanael, knowing that he's a man of faith, says to Jesus, whom he has now met for the first time in his life, "How do you know me?" I love that. Jesus knows every one of us from the inside out. All those secret things, the special things, the messed up things. He knows every part of us. How? Well, Jesus answers him by saying, and I like the way that John puts this, the way he says when Jesus answered him, the way he puts it is lost in English. You can't reproduce it in English, but the way it says it is, he answered him so profoundly and so emphatically that he grabbed the attention of Nathanael right down to the core of his being. And he answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answers, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What happened? Oh, there's all kinds of debate about this. You know, what did Jesus tell Nathanael? I don't know if we can answer that question, but I think John gives us a hint. Because when Philip found Nathanael, he said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote." My best guess on this is there was a moment under a fig tree someplace where Nathanael was reading the scriptures, the promises of the prophets, the covenant of Moses, and there was a moment of profound faith, where Nathanael said something like, "This is me. This is all about me. Because it's all about you coming into my life and making me your child." I don't think it was, in other words, any just moment under a fig tree someplace. I think it was a profound moment of conversion or reaffirmation for Nathanael. And when Jesus says, "I saw you there," he was saying, in effect, "I was the one you were interacting with at that moment." And when you think about it that way, it makes sense that Nathanael would say back to him, "Well, yeah, who else but the Son of God could do that? Who else but the King of Israel could do that?" In other words, who else but the one behind the covenant could know where I was, what I was doing, and what was going on at that precise moment, and know about this wonderful faith relationship that I have with God? Who else could know that but God? And so he's had an epiphany. Now he knows who the Messiah is. And so Jesus answers him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Now I have to say, I've never picked this up before. It was somebody I was reading who opened my eyes to this. I'd never seen this before. He didn't say to Nathanael, "You will see greater things than this, that I saw you under the fig tree." He said, "You will see greater things than these." In other words, what he's saying is, the law of Moses, the prophets, you saw a lot of things in that. And what you saw are just the beginning. You're going to see even greater things than what you ever saw in what we call the Old Testament. No, what you're going to see, and he goes on and says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." First time he uses that title of himself. No, what you're going to see is what all of those things promised. The heavens are going to be opened. and never closed again. And what happened? When Jesus was born, what happened? The heavens were opened, and the angels came. When Jesus was baptized, what happened? The heaven was opened, having already been opened. And the voice of the Father came and said, "This is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased." And there's one time after another. There's a time when the people of the crowd are hearing the voice of God because the heavens are opened. They hear the Father speak. And they say, "What was that?" You see, what Jesus came to do and has already accomplished before even going to the cross is he has opened heaven forever, so that finally the dwelling of God can be with us and we with him. And he starts that dwelling by becoming a man and living in this world. And so we'll see more of the heavens opened when Jesus is on the cross. And there they're shut up as he is cursed for our sin, but then opened gloriously on Easter morning once again, and then forever, absolutely never to be closed again. Because he is the Son of Man, which is not about his humanity. It's a title of the divine, the one who, Daniel says, looks like the Son of Man, yet is God in human form. This is who Jesus is. This is the epiphany that we have every single time we interact with his word. And so the application to us is, how do we get to see Jesus? Well, the heavens are already opened, but they become open for us when he first lets us see him in the waters of baptism. And he becomes our Messiah there through faith. And then every single time we open up his scriptures and look at what he says in either the Old or the New Testament, we're seeing our Messiah, our Savior. And he's helping us to not only get to know facts about him, but to do what he already does about us, getting to know him inside and out. You see, because ultimately, what the whole ministry of Jesus, what the whole Bible is all about, is God, who knows us, helping us to know him. And it's such good news that he wants us to know him, wants to open our eyes, looks forward, so much so that when Jesus talks about the lost sheep being found, he says, that's when the parties happen in heaven. I like the idea that when I was found, the angels all said, "Hey, we got to have a party. Mark was just found." He did that with all of us. Because God loves us and wants us, and he sees every part of us. He knows us. And says, "I see you as I see Nathaniel, a true Israelite. Indeed, verily, totally." And when he says to each and every single one of us that when I see you, even when you confess your sins to me, I only see the one I have remade into my image, because now you know me and I know you, and we belong to one another. In his name, amen.